Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Enjoy the show. Ladies and gentlemen, your 2018 NFC North champions. For the first time in 8 years, Chicago Bears are heading to the playoffs, and they do so in style, beating Aaron Rodgers and the Packers at Soldier Field. So now that they're in, can they get a first-round bye? And is the Super Bowl a legitimate possibility? Leave it to the White Sox to once again steal the limelight from the beloved. Manny Machado visits the White Sox, and they now employ his brother-in-law as well. Can Rick and Ricky woo the free agent superstar to call the South Side his brand new home? And a scary moment for Corey Crawford. He suffers another concussion, leaving last night's loss late in the first period, almost a year to the day of his last concussion. So Blackhawks fans, prepare for the worst. And welcome in to Sports Talk Live, baby. Presented. What? Welcome to Sports Talk Live, brought to you by the Chevy Silverado. Bears are the NFC North champions. I'm David Kaplan. Let's meet the panel for today's show. He's former Bears and Dolphins head coach. He's our analyst. He's the great Dave Wannstedt. Shay Pepler from Fox 32, and she's all over the Bears beat. Patrick Finley from the Chicago Sun-Times. He's also on that Bears beat. All right, the Bears have clinched the NFC North. How do you like my sweater?
Oh, it's beautiful. You're like great? Mitchell Trubisky over
did
here.
Did you buy it with the proceeds from the over 8 wins? Was that the
over 6.5 was the number in Vegas, and that paid handsomely, I can tell you. Anyway, the Bears have clinched the NFC North, and now they will try and see if over the final two games of the season they can get one of those coveted first-round buys. You know, I thought they'd be good. I don't think anybody thought 11 or 12 wins, which is a distinct possibility.
Absolutely, no. I was up at training camp this year, and Khalil Mack obviously brought a lot to it.
But I think you got to give Ryan Pace credit. You know what I mean? All this stuff. I mean, Matt Nagy's doing a great job, and the players obviously make it happen. We get that part. But the draft picks and the young players and some of the free agents that have been brought in here, there have been very few busts. You know what I mean? I mean, most of these guys came in and they're playing now, and they're playing at a high level. So it's exceeding expectations. There's no question about it. But I think you got to give Ryan Pace a lot of credit. No one's talking about him enough, I don't think.
I think Nagy gets a little credit, though, because you know this. It's hard to meld, you know, all these new faces together, and whether it's Allen Robinson, Khalil Mack, you know, all the draft picks, they were all new to Nagy. He didn't know any of these guys. And to get them to get along and gel as quickly as they can, I think is a testament to his personality, maybe not his coaching acumen, but just the way he deals with people. Also, I think the Bears were fortunate that the rest of the division wasn't as good as anybody thought they would be. You know, they got a little bit of that bump that the Rams got last year when the rest of the division went one way and they went the other way.
I don't think anyone knew what they were getting in this Bears team. I mean, when you sit your starters in the preseason, heading into week one against Green Bay, me, who covers the Bears all the time, I had no idea what this team was going to look like. So I think everyone's a little surprised with how much this defense has developed and clicked with the addition of Mack, who didn't practice all preseason or at all this summer. And everyone just seems to be clicking on all cylinders. But now the offense is starting to come around, and that's what you saw yesterday. But I think this has been a progression for fans, for people who cover the Bears, for the coaching staff, for even the players, because no one knew what you were getting before the season started.
Externally, but internally, Matt Nagy was asked by Adam Hoge yesterday, when did you know you had a talented roster? He said, in training camp, I said to Ryan, this is before Khalil Mack, I got all the talent I need here. We got a really good football team.
Yeah, you know, and obviously keeping, Matt Nagy, I mean, I wasn't slighting him, you know, but, you know, I mean, I guess it was Matt Nagy's final decision to keep Vic Fangio, I thought was a key. I said that last year. As soon as they let Foxy go, I said the best thing, I don't know, they're going to hire an offensive guy, but you better keep Fangio, you know, because you don't want to start over with this defense as good as they were a year ago. They were top 10 defense. So I think everything has kind of fallen in place, and for the most part, they've stayed healthy, right? I mean, they really haven't had any major injuries to critical guys.
Okay, so they changed their training system. They got rid of their strength coach,
right,
that Foxy brought in. He did not believe in free weights. They brought all the free weights back, and in talking with those guys up there, they said the players were like, oh, thank God, that's what they grew up using.
Mm-hmm.
Any correlation that we've seen so few injuries?
No.
No.
I mean, I'd like to sit here and say yes, but
so it's just
I've had teams where
good fortune.
Yeah, I've had teams where we've had a slew of them with the same trainer and do the same things. You know what I mean? Then the next year, none. So you got to have the stars got to line up correctly. And you know, we went to our first Super Bowl in Dallas. We were a lot like the Bears. We were the youngest team in the NFL. And we lined up and played Buffalo in the Super Bowl with the same starting group on defense that we played the first game with.
Yeah.
Wow.
How'd that happen,
wow.
You know?
Pretty rare.
Going back to the Fangio comment, a lot of these defensive players that I've talked to in the locker room, too, have said how much better they feel now that they've had a few years under their belt. Obviously, mm-hmm. the defense is further along and a lot older than the offense is together. And you plug in guys like Roquan Smith and Khalil Mack, who can pick things up pretty quick being in those linebacker positions. But in talking to guys like Danny Trevathan, who have developed a little bit more chemistry with Vic and understand the schemes a little bit more, I think that's also helping this defense.
Well, yeah, and you know, the Pro Bowl comes out tomorrow night, I think. I mean, the Bears are going to have four defenders probably on the Pro Bowl.
Who's going?
For sure, Khalil Mack. Mm-hmm. Eddie Jackson, for sure. Kyle Fuller, for sure. I would put Akeem Hicks there.
Absolutely.
And the only thing that scares me is that last year, Akeem Hicks was voted like the 12th best guy at his position, which is insane. He's a top five guy.
No Trevathan?
He knows it.
I don't think so. And, you know, Tariq Cohen might get in, too, as a kick returner, which is kind of a clever way to put a guy with who doesn't have a position in. But, I mean, there were no defenders in John Fox's three seasons who made the Pro Bowl.
You know, it actually won't matter because when they're playing in Atlanta.
When they're in the Super Bowl, yeah, obviously.
Come on now, where are you going?
Don't put the cart before the horse.
He's
wearing a light-up sweater.
What do you want? What did he say?
Lewis Riddick said, I am making my selection now. The Chicago Bears will represent the NFC.
He's been friends with Matt Nagy for 10 years, too.
That'd be unbelievable.
That would be fantastic. Yeah, I would not. I would agree. I would not get ahead of ourselves here.
Okay, what did they do yesterday to Aaron Rodgers that made him look so uncomfortable? I haven't seen him look that way.
They got to him with four guys rushing, a variety of four guys. Sometimes it was obviously Smith coming, you know, dropping the end, bringing the linebacker, bringing the corner. I mean, they changed up the rushes, but very few blitzes. I mean, they were able to play coverage, keep the ball in front of them, eliminate the big play, and get there with four guys rushing. Whenever you can do that, you know, you've got a great chance to play great defense every week.
And I thought Leonard Floyd played maybe his best game as a Bear. You know, and when you can get a pass rush opposite Khalil Mack, I mean, you got something now. And his athleticism and their ability to drop him into coverage, I think takes on a little extra meeting with Callahan.
Oh, my God, because that's the segue I wanted. James and
you're welcome.
Fine Jewelers, diamonds in the rough. And that has to do with Leonard Floyd. Take a look. First eight games, zero sacks. Last six games, four sacks, seven tackles for loss, eight quarterback hits. He's starting to come. He's starting to become a factor.
His hands feel better now. And Matt Nagy said today he thinks that, you know, he's gotten it out of his head that he doesn't have any sacks like he did in the beginning of the season. He can just play freely. He's feeling good now. So I think that's also helping.
And their ability to drop him into coverage with Callahan hurt, I think, is pretty important now. And you saw that the other day, him running with some pretty quick guys and not missing a step.
When you look at what they're able to do offensively, I thought Mitchell was really good yesterday. 20 of 28, 235, no picks. But the play for me that I went, that's a wild play. He gets pressured, he slides, and he finds Adam Shaheen, and he drops it over the defender. That, for me, is huge progress.
The first couple weeks of the season, watching Mitch, I said, if I'm Matt Nagy, I would say, go watch Russell Wilson tape. When Russell Wilson scrambles, he's never looking to run. And I've faced Russell Wilson in college at North Carolina State when I was at Pitt and in the NFL. He's going to run. He can. He's looking to throw. His eyes are always downfield. Beginning of the year, Mitch was, when he started running, he was looking to run. And that play you're talking about, his eyes never, he didn't even think of running. He was going to make a throw. And that, to me, is a big step forward for a quarterback.
Huge step forward.
And there was a play when he peeled away and rolled left, and Clay Matthews was on him. I don't think he ever saw him, but he felt him. And the fact that he could outrun him and throw, I think, a 14-yard pass to Taylor Gabriel on second and 13, get a first down.
Yep.
Yep, you know, yep. Even Nagy said today, you know, you kind of either have that awareness or you don't. Mm-hmm. And for a guy who didn't have a lot of college snaps, for a guy whose experience level is still really low compared to his peers, it's really exciting to see that.
Well, he's making better decisions with the football, too. He's starting to understand the playbook a little more. He knows when to get rid of the football. He knows how fast to get rid of the football. He knows who's around him more. He knows what playmakers are on the outside. So I think you're starting to see him just gain confidence.
And Cap, do you know how many times he's been sacked in the last five games? Five times. One in each game.
That's great.
You know, the last time it was a multi-sack game for him, I think, was October. I mean, this is something that, for a young quarterback, is a very important marker, I think.
You know what's interesting? We were sitting around talking in the green room out there in L.A. this weekend about him, and I kept saying, well, you know, the Bears have never been behind by 10 points in the fourth quarter where he's had to bring him back and win a game like all great quarterbacks have to do. He may not have to do that. I don't know. I mean, you'd think he's going to.
Right.
You know what I mean? But the way their team plays, they never really haven't gotten right. in that position.
And he can lean on the defense a little bit, too.
Yes.
I think he knows if he makes a mistake, he has a defense that is there to back him up a little, which obviously will make you play a little freer.
Here's our Ankin Law Sports Talk Live poll question. Which NFC team concerns you the most? Saints, Rams, other, or none? Go to NBCSportsChicago.com/vote. I got to ask you, you've taken different jobs when you have to change a culture. I was talking to Trey Burton today, mm-hmm. and I said, when did you know there was more talent here than maybe a 11-loss team? And he said, third day of OTAs, he said, we're on the field, and a player that's no longer here had his cell phone out. He's making a phone call. And another player who's one of the leaders of this team, he said, I won't tell you who it is, came running across. He goes, and literally almost beat this guy up. And said, that's not how we do things in Chicago anymore. I'm sick of losing.
Hmm.
That fixes a culture. How do you change a culture?
I mean, the most effective way is to get the players to buy in. And that's remarkable that started happening that fast, you know. But when you get the players to buy in, I mean, that makes a coach's job easy, and it makes it a lot more effective.
Have you noticed a different feel, because you've been around this team every day?
I would say even from the beginning of the season till now, I noticed a different feel. Yesterday when I was in the locker room, I said this on air too. They celebrated after the game. They were excited, but there was almost a sense of a deep breath, like, okay, we're tired. We're done. Let's go home and rest. Mm-hmm. We've got more to do. We got to get back to work. And I think that for me is the biggest takeaway. Yeah, they dance, they party, but by the time we get in there, they're changing, they're getting ready to go, they say what they need to say, and they're out the door. And I think in the beginning of the season, they definitely celebrated the wins a little bit longer. There's definitely a workflow to it.
It wasn't the best day of their lives. I mean, it was for Charles Leno because he got engaged. But, I mean, everybody else acted like, okay, now we got more to do. You know, you even see Matt Nagy in this clip say, you know, we're not done yet. Mm-hmm. And I believe that even though these guys haven't really been through this, only a couple of Bears players have been in the Super Bowl, I think they're all bought in that an NFC North title is not the end game here in their minds.
You know, you don't see teams have fun like this team's having all the time. Some are very businesslike. It seems like this guy has brought this real charisma to the locker room.
Yeah, he's got a real good feel, obviously, you know, for a pulse for his players, and I think that it's genuine. You know, I mean, it doesn't take players long to
know if you're a BSR.
Yeah, exactly, to see through it. And I think win, lose, or draw, he's been consistent from day one, and I think the players appreciate that and have responded.
Nagy was asked today basically what he's going to do now that they're going to the playoffs, they've won the division, what are you going to do now as far as your starters go, and how are you going to play? He's like, well, we're going to play so we can get a first round bye. We're still playing for something in this season. We're not taking our foot off the gas. I think that just says a lot about the type of coach that he is and the type of person that he is, that he wants to just keep going.
And he did admit that the odds of being a certain seed is a lot slimmer than the odds of others. But yeah, I mean, I think the Rams showed, and depending on what we see tonight out of the Saints, that it's not quite the pipe dream to get a bye that we thought it was maybe at this time yesterday.
The Giants and Dolphins losses are going to come back, and you'll be like, you got to be kidding me.
Yep. Yeah, well, there's always a couple. But there's a couple wins, too, that they had. It works both ways, you know.
So when you look at how you deal with playing here, you get an advantage in the cold. Jared Goff last week looks like he's freezing to death. Same with Todd Gurley. When you go play L.A. out there, how different is that experience trying to defend what they do or not?
You know what? It won't affect the Bears, I don't think, as much. You know what I mean? Jared Goff, I mean, he didn't look very good yesterday.
And that was at home.
That was at his home. And their defense is struggling. You know what I mean? Watching them close against the Bears, I mean, defense should travel and play good anywhere. The weather should have no factor on a defense. And they struggled here and they struggled out there. I mean, they're one of the worst teams in the NFL in giving up big plays. 20-yard, 30-yard, 40-yard.
With a lot of talent.
They give up as many big plays as anybody in the National Football League. I mean, it's all about Todd Gurley, in my opinion. You know, and I think Jared Goff's kind of leveling off now. The Saints are the team. The Saints are the team. You know, you get in the playoffs, you're gonna. I'm gonna. You know, the veteran quarterback playing at home has an advantage, I think.
You're gonna go through New Orleans.
Yeah, and I think that's.
And where if the Bears have to go to the Coliseum, there might be 40,000 Bears fans there.
Right.
I mean, it's a
93,000 seat stadium, and the Rams don't have the most.
It was half Eagles fans last night.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, did you see them?
I heard them.
Crazy.
I heard them.
Paul, it's green out there.
That's not going to happen in the Superdome.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, you're right. If I'm the Bears, you know, I think you 100 times out of 100 would rather go to L.A. at this point.
The only thing that makes me nervous with that, though, would be that they've already beaten them once. And you have this mind. And I'm not accusing them of thinking this way, but you already have this mindset of, we'll take care of them. We know what they're going to give us.
That happens. You're right.
You know, and that's not always the case in the NFL, especially when you're on their home turf. So that is the only thing. Where if you're going to the Superdome, there's this added sense of chip on your shoulder, especially what happened with Zach Miller there a year ago. I think there's a little bit more behind you, whereas if you have to go to the Coliseum. Well,
that's a good point. You know, in what makes me nervous, I'm going to even not get that far because I think the Bears will be playing Minnesota in the first round. You know, playing
them back-to-back weeks.
Back-to-back weeks. I think that's how it's going to play out, in my opinion. I think the Rams will win a game or two here and end up with a bye. They should. But I think – and that makes me nervous playing a team. That would be three times, right, in 1 year. And back-to-back weeks –
unless the Bears play their second string in week 17 and save it for the following
before
week.
We let you go.
They could. The way he handled the preseason, that's a real possibility.
Sure. I got to ask you one last thing. I had a chance to interview Mike Shanahan. Mm-hmm. He said, I had a 14-2 team. I sat my guys the last week. We won anyway. He goes, then we got the next week off for the bye. He said, in rolls Jacksonville, and they whip our you-know-what. My guys were just not as sharp as they were. As a head coach, would you rest your guys or would you play them?
I would probably play them a series or two, but if Khalil Mack got hurt in that last game and it didn't mean anything, I'd be sick.
Right.
Because you're not going to win the next week probably, you know?
Correct.
So I would lean on resting them, to be honest with you.
Thanks for being here. Touchdowns and takeaways coming up.
Is it?
You got it. You're the man. All right. The hot stove is heating up now. Manny Machado is in town. White Sox whining and dining him in hopes he'll call the South Side his brand new home. Will it work? And does the White Sox acquiring his brother-in-law help?
Sounds like a recruiting story.
There you go.
For Chicago Sports Talk with Sizzle, crank up the heat and turn on STL. Host David Kaplan brings his no-nonsense opinion to the table every weeknight on the topics that are trending with our teams. Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado, weeknights at 6 on NBC Sports Chicago.
Manny Machado in town today, and he is meeting with the White Sox, being wined and dined. Rick Renteria, Rick Hahn leading the White Sox pitch, and he will visit with the Phillies and the Yankees as well later in the week. But a lot of sources are telling our guys here at NBC Sports Chicago that the White Sox will not be outbid. These guys go somewhere else, it will be because they wanted to be somewhere else, not because they got outbid. You believe that?
Yeah, I believe that. They have the money to do it, so it would make perfect sense. But if Manny Machado is going to come to Chicago, he better cover up them ankles. I just saw his ankles out and his gym shoes on. He better learn it gets cold here real quick.
This is the best possible weather day for him.
Right.
You're going to be no, this is what winter's like. I think you need to overpay. I mean, you know, you look at this roster, even with what's coming up, that's not going to be enough. You need to sell him on building, and you need to give him a little bit of extra money for showing up, I think. That doesn't bother me at all if they're going to
overpay. So what have I told you that Manny Machado or Bryce Harper – walked in and said, okay, here's the deal. I'll commit right now. I want 10 years, $400 million. You doing it?
I don't think either right now or the difference between you and winning or between, you know, winning the World Series
or not.
No, but you've got to get building blocks.
Yeah. Those are really expensive building blocks.
Yeah. $400 million? I don't know that I...
See, I wouldn't give that to Machado.
Yeah.
I would give Bryce Harper... simply because he's a brand that you could sell.
That's, I would agree. But
Machado's
so is Machado.
A player. Harper's a brand.
I don't know that I believe that. I think Machado's a brand as well. He looks like a superstar walking around town. I definitely think he's a brand. If he came to Chicago, people would buy his jersey just as much as they would Bryce.
But Bryce Harper's the little kid who doesn't live in the Chicago area. He goes, I'm getting a Bryce Harper 34. Machado's a good player. Bryce Harper.
Yeah, I don't know. I agree with you. I think Machado has superstar qualities about him that would make him a brand in Chicago.
Do you think that their chances of getting Harper are better because Harper didn't come through here on a Tuesday night and play in front of 14,000 people in the cold? Like, do you think that that novelty actually works in their favor?
I think Bryce Harper is an incredibly selfish player.
As is Manny Machado. I mean, Manny Machado is doing a lot of selfish stuff too, but okay.
But Bryce Harper, from everything I've heard people I trust, Machado's better in the room, okay, so to speak, than Bryce Harper. But that Bryce Harper is this mega brand that sponsors will sign up for. They don't. They won't run to the White Sox and go, I got to sponsor that because right. Manny's there. But Bryce Harper,
but that might be
I think, wants the most money.
But that might be because some of Machado's on-the-field antics a little bit as
maybe.
Well. Right. Not as many brands would jump to that because he's got a little bit of a jerk vibe.
Yeah,
to
but
if he's in the right city... But and he's got the right vibe around him. I still think he's a superstar.
Bryce Harper was A-Rod. He was a major league star at 19. He had Under Armour, his main sponsor, in the region where he was with the Nationals. I think it makes sense why he's – I mean, how many baseball players can you name that have a national shoe deal? I mean, it's him and, what, five other dudes?
Interesting. All right. It was a sight nobody wanted to see. Corey Crawford suffered yet another concussion. Should fans brace for his season being over? Should they prepare for the worst?
Get all of your Blackhawks news in the palm of your hand with the My Teams app by NBC Sports. The best place to stream the games, watch highlights, read articles, and more. Download the My Teams app today.
Well, this was a really ugly thing to see. Corey Crawford crashing into the net. And it really almost looked like two different blows to the head. One a whiplash as his head went back. And then smashing into the goalpost. And he was down. You see it right there as he hits the post, and he is out indefinitely suffering another concussion. And, you know, this is a guy that almost a year to the day ended his season last year with a head injury. And now you're going to tell me you're ready to come back from this one? I caution him.
The last one took 10 months to come back from. I don't think he comes back from this one, nor do I think he should. I mean, at this point, you've got to choose your
child.
Life. Yeah, your life is more important. And it's unfortunate from a hockey perspective because the Blackhawks were starting to look good before this happened. Their last two games, they played much better. But if I'm Corey Crawford, I'm saying thank you, Blackhawks, but I'm out.
And I think when this happened a year ago, we weren't convinced that the Blackhawks dynasty was dead.
No.
I think we are now, and
yeah,
it's too bad.
It's unfortunate. All right, that is a wrap for Sports Talk Live, brought to you by our friends at the Chevy Silverado. Thank you to you guys. Thank you, Coach Wanstead. Thank you to our guys at Clark Street Sports. That's where you can get this really sweet Mitchell Trubisky sweater. So touchdowns and takeaways with Luke Iwani is next. Bulls pregame 6:30 against the Thunder at 7. Have a great evening. See you right back here. I'll be dressed in a suit tomorrow.